Education, of course, is important. Early childhood education is really important. Years of research has shown that a quality preschool can have a big impact on a child's learning later on. And it's especially important for kids of color or from low-income backgrounds. But for years, Michigan was leaving behind tens of thousands of its most vulnerable kids. In 2012, a Bridge magazine investigation found that over 30,000 eligible four-year-olds were falling through the cracks. The series caught the attention of legislators and the governor, and in the past 3 years, the state has invested $130 million into reaching those forgotten four-year-olds. Here to talk with us about Michigan's preschool expansion is the reporter who broke the story in 2012. Ron French is a senior writer for Bridge magazine and has been following up on how the expansion is impacting kids in Michigan. Welcome back to Current State.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's go back to 2012. Your article in Bridge magazine found that 30,000 kids who were eligible to attend the state's free Great Start Readiness Program weren't being served. Why was that?
Well, it was a combination of things, Melissa. Primarily, it was a great program that if the kids were in it, they were getting a good education and being better prepared for kindergarten. This was a program that's for low-income and moderate-income families in the state. Gets them better prepared to succeed once they get to school. Well, it was a great program, but it was never funded at a level that allowed everyone who was eligible to be in classrooms. So what you had is underfunding, so there weren't enough spots for these kids, and the amount of money that schools were getting for this program was so low that school districts were actually losing money with every child who came in. So there wasn't a lot of incentive, frankly, for districts who are already cutting all sorts of programs to go out and find more four-year-olds to be in the programs, because everyone who came in the door, they were losing more money. And there were all sorts of coordination problems with the federal program that's similar to this called Head Start. So there were a lot of problems at the time that led to between 30 and 40%, sometimes over 50% in some counties, of kids who are eligible for this program sitting at home rather than being in this high-quality preschool program.
Wow. So since then, the state has invested about $130 million into expanding the program. What kind of an impact does that kind of money have on the number of kids in Great Start? Does it impact how much money schools, for instance, get for each kid that's in that?
It impacts things in a lot of ways. First, the schools are getting more more money per slot, and that slot is what the terminology they use for a spot for a four-year-old. They're getting more money per kid. They're getting more money overall, so that they can increase the number of classrooms. They are getting money for transportation also. In the past, one of the big problems was a lot of these programs could not were not including transportation for the four-year-olds to get to the schools. And so a lot of families, you know, like you and me, you know, we work. We don't have a way to get our kids to school because it doesn't match up with our work schedule. And so students weren't in it. So the impact of this is not only that over the past 2 years, when you count cumulatively those 2 years of the expansion, 21,000 additional kids have been in this preschool program that would not have been otherwise. And in addition to that, that's even undercounting really the impact here, because more than 50% of these children now are in full-day programs instead of half-day programs, which, you know, obviously more than it doubles the amount of instructional time, gets these kids better prepared, and also, frankly, it allows parents, more parents to take advantage of the program.
What kind of an impact does full day versus half day have academically? Do we know kind of results down the line later in their academic careers?
We know it has an impact. It improves things. It's the biggest impact is getting the kids in the program at all. From having not being in the program to half day is a huge difference. From half day to full day also improves it, but something that's interesting, Melissa, the best, most quoted research on preschool's impact on children, it was done here in Michigan, and it was done on the Great Start Readiness Program.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it was done in Ypsilanti years ago, and this was a very obviously a voluntary program, and so they in Ypsilanti, a research company called HiScope, followed children who were in Great Start Readiness and children who were demographically matched, who chose not to be in Great Start Readiness, followed them throughout their academic career and now into adulthood. And what you find is that the kids who were in Great Start Readiness program, they did better in school, they were held back fewer years in school, they graduated on time at a greater rate, they went to college at a greater rate, their income levels are higher now, their incarceration levels are lower. It just across the board, it's really strange. It's almost this domino effect. You know, you've hit that first domino, and things just keep happening because they have a good start.
That's pretty compelling. You also reported on some of the structural barriers and bureaucracy that made it harder for eligible kids to get into preschool. What were some of those?
There were a couple of things. One, I mentioned already the financial impact for the schools were actually losing money. But there was also a problem of coordination at the time between Head Start, which is the federal program for low-income children, and Great Start. The way it was set up originally, Melissa, is that they'd hoped that children who qualified for Head Start would be in that program, and those who made a little too much money would go into the state program. Well, that makes sense on paper, but what happened is that there was very little coordination between those two programs, and sometimes there was competition for the same kids because they each had to have their classes full. And especially with Head Start at the time was required to have a waiting list. So what happens is there were children who qualified to be in one of these programs who were sitting there on waiting lists because Head Start required a waiting list and weren't getting serviced anyplace. There was also a problem, as I said, with transportation, which was a huge deal because how are you supposed to get these kids to school? It's for low-income families. And what families are most likely to have problems with transportation? Low-income families. So the sort of structural problems that existed really held things back. But this influx of money and some rule changes that have allowed Head Start and Great Start to coordinate better have really helped.
Ron French is senior writer at Bridge Magazine, and we're talking about Michigan's efforts to expand preschool options for low- and moderate-income families. And as you were reporting on this issue, did you find any data looking at the impact of Great Start specifically? What kind of difference was the program making for kids who got one of the seats?
The most compelling, I think, is some things from HiScope and Ypsilanti, but the state hasn't attracted to a great extent. But what you find is that kids who have been in this program do better in such things as third grade reading than children who are demographically matched with them do, who were not in Great Start. Now, you got to understand, Melissa, this is for low-income families and moderate-income families. Oftentimes, those children come into kindergarten knowing fewer words, not having some of the academic background of some of the kids from upper-middle-class families. And so they're starting from behind. But what we're seeing is that this sort of program has been able to help these kids catch up and at the very minimum, do better than they would have been doing before.
Another issue that you brought up is that a lot of parents didn't even know their kids were eligible for the program. Are the schools doing a better job of tracking down the eligible parents in their districts now?
That's a very good point. Yes, they're doing a better job. There's also money that now there's enough money there that some schools are doing some marketing on this, and they're going out into community and trying to find families. The guidelines for who is eligible for this program changed a bit. At the time, 2 years ago, a family could make up to 300% of the federal poverty line, and it was lowered to 250%. So slightly fewer families are eligible. But still, a family of four can make, I may be slightly wrong on this, but I think a family of four can make up to about $56,000 a year and qualify for this program. Now, when you look at those guidelines, about 9 out of 10 students today, 4-year-olds today who qualify for this program are in some sort of state or federal classroom now. That's a huge, huge difference. And as long as this is a voluntary program, you're not going to get much more than 9 out of 10.
One of the things that crosses my mind is that, you know, if you've got a parent with a child already in school, you can inform them about, you know, this opportunity or that opportunity for their kid. But what are some of the ways that have been found to be effective in reaching parents before their children are in school? Because it strikes my mind, you know, their kid is not carrying home a piece of paper. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That's a very good point. You have to go to social service organizations. You try to get some information in the local newspapers, local websites. You pass out flyers at places like churches, you put up flyers at grocery stores. You try to get the word out. But what a lot of these communities are finding is that the best advertisement is word of mouth. That once kids are in these programs, word spreads to neighbors and family members and friends about this program. So I think this is something we had to get past, trying to find a way to reach these kids. But once it's an established program and everyone assumes that if you make it under a certain amount of money that your kids are eligible for this, I think there will be an expectation. If we can get 9 out of 10 kids who qualify for this program to be in it or in a similar program like this, it's going to make a difference for the state.
Obviously, your reporting brought a lot of attention to this issue. Tell us a little about the response from the state and also from the business community.
Right. The state was, this is one of those rare issues at this moment in time that was bipartisan. Republicans and Democrats both felt that this was something we needed to address, and the business community was 100% behind this. There were a lot of businesses that came together, formed a coalition, and really lobbied for this and put their efforts behind doing this. And the reason is yes, it seems like a moral good to do this, but it's an economic good for the state. And that is where we were able to, I think, make a difference here. Is say we're not just, this isn't a handout for people. This is something that's going to help you and me and everyone else in the state, because the better our kids do overall, all our kids do in school, the better they're going to do once they get out of school and go to college, the more money they're going to make, the better our economy is, the more taxes that will come in to fill our potholes, for that matter. This is an economic good for the state, and businesses and politicians seem to agree on that completely.
This last question is kind of a personal one, but what did it feel like to see the ripple effects of your investigation? I mean, you know, 21,000 kids that wouldn't have been getting into Great Start are now getting quality preschool. That's pretty huge.
It's gratifying. And I'm very happy for these kids, and there were a lot of people involved. We at Bridge are very lucky that this is what we do. We don't cover sports. We don't do breaking news. We cover stories about policy that we think that can improve the state. And so this is what we focus on. And so, frankly, anyone else have ideas on things that need work on the state, give Bridge a call.
Ron French is senior writer at Bridge Magazine. We've been talking about Michigan's efforts to expand preschool options for low and moderate income families. And you can find more of Ron's reporting on the issue online at bridgemi.com. Thanks so much for joining us, Ron.
Thank you.